last Wednesday night of the prophetic ministry of our Lord, praise the Lord, which was the first of the three ministries, outstanding ministries of our Lord, and that's prophet, priest, and king. Tonight we're going to have our Lord's ministry as priest, and it's always good to start with the Old Testament and to bring us to our subject in the New Testament. And the priesthood did not originate with Israel, as some would think. And in the earliest of time, the male head of each household functioned as a mediating priest on behalf of his family. Job's a good example. And you know, the book of Job is considered and believed to be the oldest book of the Bible. And Job acted as a priest for his family. And he offered sacrifices according to the number of them all. And then he interceded for his children. We read of that in the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse 5. And blood sacrifices, it's the only way to come to God. Remember, God taught that to Adam when he slew the animal to clothe them. If we want to come to God, if we want to catch his ear, it's by our Lord Jesus Christ and by his sacrifice in our place. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Because still in the Old Testament, in Abraham's day, we talked about in the day of Job. Now consider the day of Abraham. And we read that in his day, that we read of Malachi, Melchizedek, thank you. It was there, but the door wouldn't open. Melchizedek, king of Salem. And the word Salem means peace, so king of peace. And Salem is the original name of Jerusalem. And in Genesis 14:18, it says that Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God, to whom Abraham paid tithes. That's in the 14th chapter of Genesis 18 through 20. And then when God delivered Israel from Egypt, he had a desire for that nation, and he desired and wanted to make them a kingdom of priests, and that they would have direct access unto him. And so we're going to go to Exodus 19. Exodus, the 19th chapter. And we read of this in verses 4 through 6. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Yes, the Lord spoke unto Moses, and then Moses told the message unto the people. And his desire was to make that nation a kingdom of priests with direct access to him. But we know by Scripture, Israel sinned, breaking the covenant, and thus forfeiting their privilege of becoming a kingdom of priests. And God then began the Aaronic priesthood. Let's go to Exodus 28, the 28th chapter of Exodus. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thus the Lord God made the tribe of Levi a consecutive line of priests. In other words, it passed on to the descendants, thus making the tribe of Levi the priestly tribe and the consecutive line of priests in Israel. Well, we also know by the word of God that as years passed, the priests grew more corrupt until it even demanded the crucifixion of its own Messiah. The Hebrew word for priest means one who officiates, one who officiates. And the Hebrew priest had a sacred responsibility. It was to represent the Israelites before God and to represent God before the Israelites and declaring God's will, teaching them the law, and caring for the tabernacle. And of course, later, the temple, and offering another duty. They were to offer sacrifices to God and to intercede for their sins and also the sins of the people. The priests often abused their calling and office, such as the two sons of Eli, the priest, in Samuel's day. I'm not going to turn and read about it, but we're all familiar with that. You know, them two sons of Eli, they would forcibly take offerings of the people, forcibly. They were very immoral, and so on. You could go on about them. And the book of Malachi, now I want Malachi. The book of Malachi details the corruption of the priests. And they even offered sick and defective animals in sacrifice. And when God gave the instructions about sacrifices, they had to be perfect animals that was to be sacrificed. And we know why. They pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless one. Yes, praise the Lord. And in offering those defective animals, they showed contempt, and it was dishonoring God. They certainly was not giving him glory. And then by the time of Jesus, now we come to New Testament time, by the time of Jesus, the priesthood was in such a low state, they were beyond redemptive. They sought to murder anyone that threatened their authority or their means of amassing wealth by manipulation. Jesus predicted about the high priest, and we're going to turn to Matthew, the 20th chapter. There are several scriptures we could read on this, but I'm going to only just read one. Matthew, 20th chapter. Verse Matthew 20 and verse 18, and you notice right off it's red letter. These are Jesus' words. And he says to his disciples, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death." You see the priests there? The priests and the scribes. The Jewish priesthood had sunk so low that there was no resemblance to the office that God had called them to serve him. And our Lord's priesthood is what, this is what we were coming to, and we needed that background. But the Lord's priesthood, when did it begin? It began at the cross. When he offered himself, the sacrificial Lamb of God for our sins, for the sins of all mankind. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 2. I'm going to read, starting with the 14th verse of Hebrews 2. Praise the Lord. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Yes, his priesthood began at the cross. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help or aid them that are tempted. And then the first verse of the third chapter. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Consider him. That's what it says. Consider. Consider him. And this third chapter, as well as chapter 1 and 2, tell us the preeminent glory of Christ. There is none like him. And in Hebrews, the 14th chapter, verses 14 through 16, it is he and he alone that is called our great high priest. 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, I meant four. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, chapter 4. Chapter 4, 14. There's where the 14 is. Verses 14 through 16. All right. I hope you followed all that. Them are wonderful verses. He alone, We have a great high priest. Praise the Lord. Christ's priesthood supersedes the Aaronic priesthood and is superior to it in every way. Studying the book of Hebrews, it brings this out very good. Our high priest, not only he sympathizes with us, but he intercedes for us, and he loved us so much that he died for us as the final sacrifice for sin. His priesthood is without equal, for he is both divine and human. Hebrews 1, first chapter, verses 1, 2, 3. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and beholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Yes, he's at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Interceding for you and I. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And I was bringing out these scriptures because his priesthood is like none others, because he is divine and he is human. Chapter 2 and verse 16. See, we already read it, but I'm going to read it again. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Yes, praise the Lord. See how that those first three verses in chapter 1 bring out the divine, and in this verse here that he also was human in this second chapter in verse 16. Let's turn to the fifth chapter, chapter 5. And starting with verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. You see why it tells about the order he was called according to the order of Melchizedek? This is different than being called. He wasn't called after the order of the Aaronic priesthood. Jesus was, as I said before, Aaron, he was of the tribe of Levi. And Levi was the priestly tribe. But Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, the ruling tribe, the tribe of kings. And in Psalms 110, verse 4, I'm not going to turn there, but you can write that down if it's not already in your Bible margin. That's in Psalm 110, verse 4. David wrote there of the Messiah, and he said, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That's Psalm 110, verse 4. And the psalm compares the Messiah to Melchizedek and not unto Aaron. He's writing there of the Messiah. Melchizedek lived 700 years before Aaron and before the Aaronic priesthood. And Aaron was a priest only. Melchizedek, we sang about it, he was a priest and a king. The offices of Christ, priest and king. Praise the Lord. The prophet Zechariah, well, let's turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. The prophet Zechariah wrote of the Messiah here, and he said in chapter 12 of verse 6, chapter 6 of Zechariah, "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. He shall be priest upon his throne." Messiah is the only Davidic ruler that God allowed to be both priest and king. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Hebrews 7. And I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 7, 14 and 15. "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest." Praise the Lord. After the similitude or likeness of Melchizedek. Let's go up to the first part of the 7th chapter and read the first 3 verses. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." Speaking of our Lord Christ. Praise the Lord. We read here that there's no record of descent concerning Melchizedek. There's no record of who his father was or his mother was, or of his birth or of his death. He was made like unto the Son of God. Some have taught that Melchizedek is Christ, which, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? He was made like unto the Son of God. He was not Christ. He was made like unto. Didn't we just read that here? Made like unto the Son of God. You see, the order would not be perfect if those things had been recorded, if they had been written. And God protects the types of his Son. You can be sure of that. And as we have already read in the seventh chapter and verse 16, he was made after the power of an endless life. Did I read that yet? Maybe not. Who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. An endless life. Like Melchizedek too, different from Aaron and that priesthood, Jesus neither inherited his priesthood, nor did he transmit it to successors as the Aaronic priesthood did. And also the Aaronic priesthood served for a specific time. And Christ, the 17th chapter of this 17th verse of this 7th chapter, he is a priest forever. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. He is our ever-living priest, and he will be throughout eternity. So it began at the cross and never ends. A priest forever. Praise the Lord. We're going to soon see him face to face and enjoy him forever. And also, unlike the Aaronic priests, Christ offered himself once for all as the perfect, unblemished, sinless blood sacrifice for sin. In this 7th chapter of Hebrews, let's read verse 26 and 27. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did, what? Once, when he offered up himself. Let's go to the 9th chapter and read verse 28. 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he offered himself what? Again? Once. Once. Let's go to the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Today, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I, interceding on our behalf. We're going to come back to this chapter, but I'm going to read a verse in Romans, the 8th chapter, for to go with this. In the 8th chapter of Romans and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise the Lord. And then back to this 7th chapter, let's read verse 25 in Hebrews. Hebrews 7:25. For yet that he should offer himself, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, Yes. And I've got 8:1. Let's see. Yes. The 8th chapter. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The importance of the Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood, it cannot be underestimated, nor can it be overstated. We are instructed to come directly to God's throne of grace through Jesus Christ, our advocate, and to present our requests. And he is interceding for you and I. Praise the Lord. The 4th chapter of Hebrews. I may have read this before, and I'm going to read it again. This is the one where I said the wrong chapter. The 4th chapter, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And then verse 16, that's the one I want. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, let us come boldly to obtain grace, mercy, and grace. Praise the Lord. Let's see, I have the 10th chapter and verse 19. Yes, again, it's telling us to come boldly. Chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How can we do that? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Our access into God's presence has been paid for by Jesus' shed blood. And we come unto him as unto our Father, our Heavenly Father, and we come unto him as his dear children because of Jesus. There's no need of a temple today. There is no need of a human priest today. There is no need for blood sacrifices today. Jesus is all we need. And when you look at this book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 2:18, it tells us he is able to aid the tempted. He is able to succor or aid the tempted. And in chapter 7 and verse 19, it is by him that we draw nigh unto God. And in chapter 10, verses 18 through 22, it says, let us draw near with full assurance. Let us draw near with full assurance. Well, that's all I have to say on this tonight. Say it. And priests unto God. Amen. Thank the Lord. That's another sermon, isn't it?